it's a little stock.
Bass solo, take one.
It's a big old fat motherfucker called
Blizzy Buzzard Buttocks.
Big Rigger and Spatchin Spatial.
Under my feet.
But look, the biggest heavy band of all time.
I wouldn't ask you to do a drum roll if your arm fell off.
There was an incident with the pyrotechnics.
And Kirk!
Squillions of dollars and squillions of people.
How the fuck are you, Lars?
Piddly wants and wills and needs.
Lars Ulrich, drums and bongs.
What the fuck does that mean anyway?
I hate that fucking camera, man.
Well, since we started.
I'm talking about like a fucking live gig. You see this for, right?
What really gets my dick hard.
Mommy, where's Fluffy?
Hey, this is Lee Jeffries, the photographer for 72 Seasons, and you're listening to And Podcast for All.
Man, 2 seconds into it. Welcome back to A Podcast for All. My name is Shane Obershaw. Joining us tonight, Jeff Winslow, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Larry Levine, Pittsburgh, PA, where their state senator can't form one normal sentence. And the Bob Signal, just south of Lakeland, Florida. Hello, gentlemen.
Yo.
What's up?
Howdy.
I like how I introduced all of you, and I didn't even get it. Give you a chance to say hello, because we have so much to cover tonight. There's no time for intros.
Enough fucking around.
People know who we are by now. I hope.
Yeah. Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Shane?
Are you wearing a Lost Boys shirt?
I am. Michael okay. Emerson, come on down. That's what this shirt says.
I like that. Bob, what are you rocking tonight?
My work, like our kind of in motion thing that we did last year, you know, to get everybody moving okay. And up and at them.
Jeff probably has a hoodie on because it's, you know, probably still snowing in Minneapolis tonight.
No, it's actually quite nice. I got a Rose Video shirt on from Schitt's Creek, if you ever saw that TV show.
Rose Video?
Yeah, so they owned a video store prior to owning this shitty motel okay. In the town of Schitt's Creek. And so this is... It's nice like and light. That. It breathes. It was hot out today. It was
like,
real hot.
I like the lightning bolt going through it. It looks like the old Jolt Cola from like 1989.
Right?
I'm rocking the old Sparky shirt here. This is the only Metallica shirt that's thin because it's hot as balls in Memphis. This is the only Metallica shirt that breathes, unlike those Gildan, you know, jackets we used to wear.
Those are thick shirts. They're heavy.
I have a few of those in my closet.
Like 100, Bob.
Yeah.
Just a few.
You cannot wear a Gildan in Memphis or Florida.
I think right off the bat, we should just jump into Voting for All. Gildan or Fruit of Loom? I mean, what are you feeling?
Is it Green Fruit Stars. Of Loom still thick?
Is it thick? What's a thinner one?
I think Gildan's as thick as they come. Like my OG Justice and Sabbath True shirts, I mean, if it's 80 out and you're wearing those, you're dying in 3 minutes.
So it could be
those
like...
Stock.
Gildan versus a
What's a thin Metallica shirt maker, Bob? Come on, you're
Haynes?
You're into these tags, Screen Stars.
Here's a Gildan. This is a Gildan Volbeat one.
Not that thick. Volbeat.
Volleyball beat.
They have like soft spun line.
Wilson beat.
But in the 90s,
Wilson
they beat, only yeah. had they only had the starch line. So,
Larry, is your mic on? Have you followed the podcast for all instructions tonight?
I have. Can you hear me? Test sibilance.
Oh, I can hear you
a little better. I gotta bump you up a bit.
This
here.
Is a thick one.
Bob's just really loud, and Larry's just like, he's kind of, you know, a few credits short of being where you.
This is a Haynes beefy one. Very thick.
You say beefy?
Beefy.
A beefy
boy.
Also, Haynes is thick too.
Yeah.
What about Screen Stars?
Screen Stars are super thin.
Well, that's the OG.
It was Giant in like the 90s.
The 90s. Giant,
that's it.
I have a ton of those Giant ones.
All the there plus you go, head dude. Ones and yep.
That is and so those true. Are thick.
I think all the merch you're selling now though is really thin, comfortable stuff.
Yeah, they revamped it. They announced it in the store.
Hey, are you sick of having heat strokes when you're at our concerts with our shirts on? Have we got
they
a sale
have
for
like
you?
An athletic line though, but athletic. It's a little snug. It feels like you're wearing Saran wrap. Like
most Metallica fans aren't athletes.
Get stuck.
It's
in
not
the
172
the
degrees. It's 72 skin. Seasons now. The boys just wrapped up in Germany for two nights. I'm really digging that Until It Sleeps looks like it's kind of hanging around. Let's keep that going, boys, for at least 2 years.
We discussed this.
Don't down this, Jeff.
It'll be Until It Sleeps, and then they'll come to North America. And it'll
Memory
be
Remains.
Memory Remains.
You're probably
Where
right.
I may roam. Sad but true.
Larry, you're a smoker. Man. Jeff, you're a smoker. What do you think of Papa Het actually puffing on the cigar while playing Cthulhu and Orion?
Well, I don't smoke tobacco.
True.
Yeah, I smoke a cigar every once in a while. I like it. I like that he just is embracing it in his old age and is like, I'm
why
not
you gotta
a fuck
age
bucks.
The man like that.
Zero
like
fucks,
old.
Man.
He's not
I think it's dope.
Old.
No, but I just mean like now that he's a silver fox, he's just embracing it. And I think it's interesting in Amsterdam because they have strict like no public smoking rules and he just threw caution to the wind like fucking Nike and Michael Jordan's shoes.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got enough money to pay the fine. That's
you can't smoke
deal.
In an Amsterdam open-air stadium?
Apparently not. And I like that the fans are now smoking. I mean, now this is going to be the new
smoker
stick
section.
Me Lars.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring your cigars and whatever else. And
yeah, I don't like that.
Catch a light.
Yeah, we've matured now. We've got sideburns and we listen to jazz and...
Like Jeff said, most Metallica fans are not athletic.
And now we're going to smoke cigars and sip our bourbon.
What's wrong with bourbon, dude?
I don't dislike the cigar thing. It reminds me of back in the day, we'd play an outdoor festival or two. And
Jeff would smoke during Turn the Page.
That's when I was a cigarette smoker. Me and Pizzle would both. It was like the perfect song because, you know, I don't have to play much and I could just... smoke my cigarette, have my break.
Smoke a fat ass joint like the Kid Rock lyric.
Right.
Did you pull an Eddie Van Halen
yeah,
and put the cigarette in the headstock?
No, I actually didn't. There was a couple of times that I did it where I pretty much just held the cigarette in my mouth and just played, and then a couple of times where I would hold it with my pick hand, and then, you know, I could just sit there and essentially just fret the song without even having to pick it and smoke my cigarette.
Very good, very good.
You ever catch it off the strings? Get a little sparks?
Yeah, I'm sure there was some, you know, sweaty, hot nights, and then the ash gets on there, and it gets all disgusting looking.
Hot summer nights. What was voting for all? Gildan versus Giant? I'm going Giant.
Gildan's too heavy, but they're durable, though. They last. That's where it gets tough.
I don't know, man. Those Giants that I have, they've lasted... 25
go,
years more.
Giant four-way right here.
Giant.
I am.
I was strong as I could be, like a giant.
Wait, like hold on. Rock. I have something that's giant. Hold on.
Oh, Bob's getting up.
He's going to pull out like 15 shirts.
What's happening here?
I've been in that room that Bob's in right now. There's so much shit in there. This could
check
be anything.
Out.
Is that an OG that. Tattoo? Oh,
yep,
the tag?
It's
the tag.
The ninja starts a
tag?
Like, how?
Yeah.
How and why?
And
who saves the tag to a 1996 shirt?
This guy. This might have been.
Pizzle, if you're listening, you're off the hook.
That's a Pizzle move. Still got my Reeboks from fifth grade.
He's cool, man.
He's off the hook now.
What this, shirt was that too, Bob?
This might have been from either the tech
fucking
vest.
Tag from the Load era. Wow.
No, this is from 2000. This would have been the Tech Fest or the Windbreaker, which are both in my closet.
Okay. Not only is it that you have
funny.
It, but you knew exactly where it was,
that's
too.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, that's damn impressive. It still smells like cool water.
He's
if
got
you
some
sniff
stuff.
It.
Do you have Dracar cologne along with that tag?
No.
Do you have every tag of shirt you bought?
No, just this one, because this was cool because, I mean, look at it. It's got the fucking Ninja Star on it. It's fucking cool. Okay. And logo, that's legit.
What would you say is an item you have that would just blow us away that you just like that tag?
That might have just taken the tag
right there. I was trying to think. I don't think anything could beat the tag off of a giant shirt. Anything that would blow our minds that you still have, or be like, why do you have that?
And it doesn't even look like the little hole is ripped, so you probably took it off
carefully disassembled it.
Look at that. Look at that.
Straight from the printer.
He cut that off with the scissors so he could nice and easy. And
hey, Mom, I need the scissors.
carefully placed it back in the jewel case.
Yeah, that's right. Larry's right. This is 23 years old. I probably got this at
amazing.
Either Baltimore or Giant Stadium.
The image of this episode needs to be that tag with the hole just perfectly.
Seriously, that's the episode.
Yeah, I'll Photoshop horse flies around it.
That might have Pizzle's Reeboks beat.
Like I said, he's off the hook.
Bob, thanks for the laughs, man. That is dedication.
Giant shirt tag. That's the name of this episode.
We ain't talking about Lars. This is just about t-shirt quality.
And t-shirt and remember, tags. This is like the actual like tag that would have been like clipped onto the like the side of the shirt or the the sleeve,
and
not the
topic.
Tag that's in the neck. You know,
yeah,
hot
yeah.
topic.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely knowing what you're talking about. I'm sniffing what you're shitting, bud.
I feel like that is a good idea. I feel like that was a joke, but doing a top five best Metallica t-shirts would be a good list to sort of make.
Oh, dude, we could talk shirts for a season on this show.
That would be hard. That would have to be an episode with you three because I know them, but I never owned that many of them. Like, I don't.
You don't need to own them, but Jeff, you could talk about 50 shirts you like of Metallica.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be able to get as in depth with that. That's one thing where I feel like I.
Yeah, but you could make a top 10 list.
Yeah.
I could totally make a top 10 list. Three list, yeah.
Three.
Say right now, like all of our number ones would be Damage, right?
Negative.
Just go to Joe Casella's Facebook page.
He says
his
negative.
Cover photo and look at all the t-shirts at once.
My favorite shirt of all time is the All Over Collage Kill Through Black album.
That's a cool shirt. Yeah, I never had that one, though.
I have it. Just, man, when that came out, life-changing.
I'm bummed. I don't have
a shirt changed my life.
I can't find my St. Anger tour shirt from when I was in, like, fifth or sixth.
I know which one
you had. Yeah, it was the one with the cards. Yeah, the cards on it. And I don't know. I have no idea where that shirt is. I lost it over the years. And it sucks because I think that's the only Metallica tour shirt I've ever owned. And it's the one that I got it was black, and it...
The years are like playing cards on the back with the St. Anger logo.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember.
They have the St. Paul date on it.
My go-to was the pus head from Cunning that Jason wears. The flaming skull with the stenciled Metallica logo.
That is a good one.
Fucking thing.
There's a difference in that one, Larry. The logo has to be on the top of the skull, not the side of the skull.
Yeah.
For a while, that was hard to find.
Let's be real. The best Metallica shirt ever is the Injustice for All album cover on McLovin's shirt, where it looks like it's just it's just pasted on.
One.
Yeah. From Superbad.
I thought you were going to say the white one like Lars is wearing in the video, but no, the McLovin.
The McLovin.
Yeah, me and Shane had that one.
That's classic. Classic. What are we speaking of Lars's shirt? We're talking about Lars tonight.
It's a good segue.
Some Lars Ulrich.
Lars loves lists. So we're doing top five moments, top five, and it can be a moment, a quote, banter, or a performance. Is that correct?
Anything. Yes. So anything
Lars.
Anything to do with something he's done in his career or something.
Huh?
Yeah, right there. Number one. Huh?
Huh?
Hashtag no fucker around.
All five are huh.
Oh, to my aunt spells om. Huh? Like.
I had fun with this one. There was so much shit I was going through. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, five is tough to narrow down. When I was flying this afternoon between Oakland and Memphis, about 50 items entered my head in a 3-hour flight.
Huh? I had to resort a couple times. I revised a few.
Well, let's just get right into it. We already voted on fucking t-shirts and Bob's perfectly removed tag from 1995.
Hey, you better put some swearing beeps in there because there's been a couple of them. We're trying to keep a family-friendly
it's
show
PG-13.
Here,
my mom's listening. I'm drinking this, by the way. No more water.
Spindrift.
Spindrift, delicious.
Well, this is sparkling water, so it kind of counts tonight, but I needed some flavor before we get into the bread and butter here.
You can't just drink that all the time, though. You'd stay too bubbly.
Does that make you fart?
Burp, fart. Just being back bubbly.
Back to the high quality. Oh, Jeff, I forgot. Last night at work, check out this poster in the workroom.
Does you know it say like, how many days since accident?
No. You are going to... It's kind of like in that area of like where you'd see that shit.
Yeah.
This was on a locker.
Is it the little kitty on the yarn that says you can do it? That's what I call high quality H2O, yes.
Yeah. Bobby Boucher. On the side of a locker to stay hydrated for the summer out in the ramp in Memphis.
That's some high quality H2O.
It's like we literally talked about that a day ago, and I came across that in a locker. Deja vu.
Love that movie.
Who wants to start? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, while we're on that, you know, Waterboy topic real quick, who is the better football player? Was it Bobby Boucher or Forrest Gump?
Didn't Forrest Bobby. Gump play ping pong?
He played ping pong, but he played football too. Played football in college.
I remember that, but wasn't he playing JFK versus in ping pong and just dominated?
Well, he was playing the Chinese guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't JFK in that?
Yeah, he
meets him as part of like the ping pong team when they win or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it weird I've only seen that movie once?
That is very weird.
Really?
Yeah. I know the parts, but if the quotes, not even close.
I've maybe seen Pulp Fiction.
None.
Oh my god, that's my favorite movie of all time.
This is gonna get weird.
That is literally my favorite movie of all time.
We're not getting these fucking lists, boys.
we're stretching it out.
Here's what I know about Pulp Fiction. What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Yeah, wrong.
No?
No, that's Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
I thought that was in Pulp Fiction.
No.
You know it because of Civil War, right?
I swear that GNR's Civil War was in Pulp Fiction.
No. That came out before Pulp Fiction.
200% sure I thought that was there. So that shows you how much I've seen Pulp Fiction.
That's a shame because it's a damn fine movie.
Larry said this is getting weird. Sorry to disappoint you, dude.
All right.
No, it's all good. I just mean we're going to...
Let's get on with these mother fudging lists.
Yeah, thank you, Bob, for being sensitive
now,
to the listeners.
I
want to
talk about Vacation and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I like
this
movie, too.
This is crazy.
I like the movie, too.
Fine. Before we have the next Horseflies episode, I'm going to watch Pulp Fiction.
You should.
Okay.
Do it.
You really should.
Get the 4K.
Is it long?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it will keep you... 2.5, maybe 2:40.
I think it's just under 2.5.
Two and a half.
It's long, but in a good way.
Exactly.
So I can crush that on a flight to Oakland tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, it is. I think you're right, Bob. I think it is like. Yeah,
you might. I'm gonna make a guess. Shane might be buying a new wallet after he sees it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That movie, honestly,
I like my wallet.
Like legitimately, that movie to me is like life changing. Especially if you really enjoy, like, it's more than a movie. It's almost on, like, that film kind of level, you know what I mean? There's just...
But you guys know the type of movies I like.
Goonies.
Dry, sarcastic comedies.
Well, the humor in a Tarantino movie is very dry for being such a dark, twisted kind of, you know, movie.
Did you say Gran Torino?
What?
I said Goonies.
I just said that to piss Jeff off.
Hey, Gran Torino's a good movie, too. Yeah. I like Clint. He just turned 93 today.
I love that movie.
That's sort of relevant classic. To the topic.
Metallica. It's taking us 93 minutes to get to the lists.
There's so many great quotes in Gran Torino.
Yes.
Agreed.
I'd love to repeat some of them, but they're not 2023 friendly.
No, they're not. Don't cancel us.
Yeah, agreed.
I like Toeing the Line. All right, Lars Ulrich, top five moments of 42, maybe of 60 years. I mean, we could talk about his whole life here. Who wants to kick this off?
Oh, Bob can.
I'll start. I know I've never seen Pulp Fiction, so I'll probably go last since I'm the, you know, joke of the week.
Damn, he just got dropped to the bottom of the totem pole.
Some men you just can't reach, so we give up here what we had last week. Which is the way he wants. Well, he gets.
Strother Martin and Cool Hand Luke.
Okay, I'm going to go watch that too.
That's a good It's good.
All right, bobbers.
All right, so I'm going to start with number five and work my way down to number one. Okay.
Work your way up to number one, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. That too.
what he said.
So number five, and this was tough because I couldn't think of any real musical ones. These are more, I mean, there's a little bit of quotes and there's some other things in here, but you'll see. Number five, okay. He fucking left the band.
Yes.
When did we become the bad guy?
Nicely done.
I mean, it's a good moment. It's classic.
That one crossed my mind.
Yeah, that's, I mean, what more can you say? It's classic. It became a very early meme, I think, you know, or a very early gif, you know?
Bob, I want you to spell fawking.
F-O-C-K.
That a boy. Proud of you.
He fucking left the band! He fucking left the band! Which part of that is... Hello? You know what I mean? He fucking left the band! I mean, period! Exclamation point! Which part of that is forgotten? I just... Which part of that got left out of the equation? The fuck did we turn into the bad guys? I don't understand that part. He fucking left the fucking band. Jesus Christ.
Fucking left the band.
Number four is kind of a cheat, and it kind of goes back to my tag here. I said 1996 to 2000, like Lars's whole snotty, arrogant vibe that he had, like, in interviews and, you know, just on stage, like, it, especially on the Load Tour.
The ego was dripping, yes.
Yeah, like on the Load Tour, you know, he's wearing the Calvin Klein boxers and the black wife beater, and just, I mean, that rules. That's so cool, and he's got the Coke muscles, you know? I mean, the dude is ripped. And
the Coke muscles.
Yeah, I mean, look in the tour album, the tour program, when he's, like, reaching out, like, dude, ribs and his arms are chiseled.
Larry, have you ever had Coke muscles?
Never. I got ruined a Coca-Cola, and that gave me the opposite of Coke muscles. But gave me man tits.
But especially the snotty, arrogant ego, like, you know, like you guys have saw that I was going through all those old videos and finding stuff from MTV and stuff. And
yeah, those are gold, by
like,
the way.
The when they did the Metallica TV thing in 1998 before Garage Inc. came out, you know, when they were at the MTV studios and Kirk gave away his appendix, that shit. Before that, I had started.
Always had gum in.
Well, right? Yeah, he had
like,
gum,
he always
but.
Always had gum in that era, every time. Never
yeah,
got
like,
gum.
Before that, like, I was taping ahead of time just so I wouldn't miss anything, and they kept cutting to them, like, standing there talking to Carson Daly before, or I think it was even Matt Pinfield they were talking to. You know, Lars is standing closest to whoever was doing the interview, but he's got tea, and he's just playing with his tea bag in there, just, you know, kind of doing his own thing, like, he's not even really, like, present.
Playing with his tea
and,
bag.
Like, he was being bothered by being asked a question,
right.
Or there's that classic bit from... I think it was Rage. It was Much Music, because they were in Canada, and it was in 1998, and the World Cup was going on, and Lars didn't want anything to do with the interview. They literally had a TV come out for him, and he's sitting here watching the game, totally involved in the game, ignoring everybody. James is doing all the talking.
I remember that footage. Yep.
It's hilarious.
Total ego. Don't bother me.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Number three, The Invention of Babel. And I I went through all the old videos to find the very first Lars Babel, and the earliest one I can find is from November 20th of 2001, when he was at Kirk's, when they were doing the So What thing with Kirk and him doing the photo shoot, and it's a 3-minute video. He's got the blonde Eminem hair, and he's kind of making cracks about about Kirk's game room. He calls it a gay room, and then he gets in trouble from Nicholas, and he's like, "What?" He's like, "It's a slip of the tongue." It's like, "It's game room."
I do remember that.
But that started
the Babel.
22 years of Babel.
That's why Jeff and I say Babel some weeks.
Babylon.
Rebel of Babylon.
Number two, this is the only musical one that I had. The double bass in one.
Father, I need help. I'm in terrible trouble and I need help.
Right on.
I mean, you know, right that, I mean, to me, and I'm sure you can relate, you know, coming on with the Justice album, but I remember my friends telling me about that and being like, dude, you got to hear this part. You got to hear this part. You got to hear this part. And it's like, when we played, it was just like, whoa, mind blowing. And I think to this day, whenever he does that, whether or not he does it correctly or sloppily or, you know, I think it still is a focal point in the live show and everybody gets excited during it. And
I think sloppily is a new word and I like it.
And yes, I will say that English major. That's a song that it seems like no matter what, those guys could never actually mess up that song. And that part, it's always spot on when he's playing it.
Right.
He's played that song so many times, it's muscle memory at this point.
Exactly. Yeah. Total muscle memory.
Yeah.
So my number one, I got to go back to the beginning. I got to say the Recycler ad.
Hey, I like it.
Oh, that's well put.
Damn. That was the first thing that I put on the list when you guys talked about this. I was like, that's got to be number one because
I like that start, dude.
Damn.
That's fucking solid.
Well, Bob just took the crown for
Mike Drum.
Bob has hit the home run with the Recycler ad, and that is pretty comical if you think about it.
It is. Yeah.
Because without that, there's nothing. We wouldn't even be here.
Tigers of Pantang.
Witchfinder.
Pretty solid, Bob. Well thought out.
Yeah. That's a good list.
That's a
well thought out.
Golf clap? Do we clap?
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to top. I feel like this episode just ended.
Larry, can you one-up him?
I was going to say, I'm going to face plant.
Bob just showed the tag to the camera like fucking mic drop.
Yeah, that's it. Wait, call it.
Yeah, this is over.
All right, tag 26 drop. Minutes. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and goodbye.
Bye, Season 12, bye, episode Pizzle. 13. Yeah, goodbye, Pizzle. Pizzle, you got those Reeboks? Let her rip, LL Cool J from PIT.
I struggled. I had a couple of moments of, do I do the Scum thing of him getting in Hetfield's face, because that takes some real fucking stones.
Oh, man, I thought about that one, too. That's a good one.
I have in the, you know, shove 50 grand up your ass, that whole bit.
I forgot about that. How did I forget about that?
We need to make a top 50 list, Jeff.
With an honorable mention, because I tried to keep the top five clean, and this one's a little bit of a potentially embarrassing moment for our Danish friend, but my honorable mention is actually Lars pukes on the cover of Orgasmatron while trying to impress Lemmy in his hotel room.
Oh, my gosh.
That's going fair.
Way back. That's past 42 years ago.
Yeah. But that's the start of the love affair and seeing what it's like to be a touring band. Number five is...
I vomited the other night.
You did? Me too. Twins.
Why? I think I had food poisoning.
Oh, man. Where did you eat?
A really swanky... This isn't going to make sense. A really swanky restaurant in Memphis. It might have been the appetizer or the 8 cocktails that I had there. And didn't feel too hot.
Yeah, and that'll do it.
When you're pushing 42 years old, multiple cocktails, and a 28-ounce ribeye with a foot-long cookie platter for dessert did not mix well.
Dude, a 28-ounce ribeye sounds delicious right now. I love steak.
and mashed potatoes and bladder. Beef tenderloin appetizer.
Damn.
So, like, didn't act like a meat plunger and just push the alcohol out the other way?
Needless to say, I was not feeling well. You know, you know when you're struggling in pain and you're like, if I just vomit, I'm going to feel amazing in about 2 minutes. That's exactly what happened.
Once you get to that point, it's like...
Oh, I was in pain.
You just let her rip, tater chip.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you seen any barbecues since you've been in Memphis again?
Oh, well, that's every week, Bob. They're handing out free club steering wheel anti-theft devices. That's how bad Hyundais and Kias are getting ripped off here.
And FedEx is like, yep, that's the town for us.
It's all about being centrally located in the country, bro. So anyway, I vomited. I knew everyone wanted to hear that, but I feel better now, so thank you.
Oh, see, I walked away for a second, and then I came back, and I caught the tail end of that story, so I was really trying to figure out what was going on, but
puked
me up. And Larry threw up in probably the same weekend. Mm. Anyway.
Mine wasn't nearly as exciting, so I feel like I won't retell it.
I gorged myself.
Three. Lars, and then Shane, and then my puke is three.
The cocktails got the better of me, but I'm going to chalk it up to food poisoning. Anyway, sorry to cut you off, Larry. Where were you?
Larry.
I was just getting to five, actually.
Oh, we didn't even get to your... Oh.
Yeah, that was honorable mention.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. I can burn through these. So
you don't have to burn through nothing.
Five is...
you must burn.
On the heels of the Coke muscles, Lars throws himself off a building in the I Disappear video.
That's a great moment.
Yeah.
It was always my favorite part of the video.
That might be my favorite video.
Yeah, agreed. That could be a top five for sure, if not top three.
Did his own stunts, too. Number four is... He plays with Brian Johnson at the Taylor Hawkins tribute, because I just think it was just such like a, hey, I'm getting to pretend like I'm actually Phil Rudd and jam on AC/DC songs, and he just seemed like a kid up there.
Right. I love that video of Brian Johnson at HQ. I just wish it was longer.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that where Brian's shorter than Lars?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's but like, they wear the same hat.
Here's two 4'8" guys walking around the studio.
Two midgets.
Do you think that the hat he has in Lee Jeffries' portrait is the one that Brian wore in HQ?
It looks like it.
So can I have that? I'll give you my yellow
Brian,
hat.
I need this hat for a pic.
We're doing this photo thing.
It's going to be crazy cool.
Yeah, you could tell he thought he was in AC/DC for those 5 minutes.
And it was awesome to see, and he... You know, a little bit of a different Lars we got to see. It's a lot of still the tongue working, like the Jabba tongue movement with the...
He's like, hey, I'm digging these tunes. These are all the beats you're going to hear a year from now in 72 seasons. It's 4-4. It's straightforward. This is all I do. Cool.
This is what I know.
So I feel like I got to throw a little bit of a smoke warning here that, like, my next three are all musically related.
Good.
So
okay. Nice.
My list is... A little different than Bob's. Bob, were you going to say something?
Yeah, did you say Jabba tongue?
Yeah, you know, because he'll be like, and just really be working it like.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
Pizza the Hut.
It's amazing that he doesn't smoke weed, because it always looks like he has cotton mouth. But anyhow, that's why he has his Perrier cup next to him that Jimmy refills sometimes. So.
That stuff is not good, by the way. Tried it.
No, it's not. It tastes like hairspray.
It's
number
for
three,
rich people, bud.
Hairspray.
Hairspray for
I'm
rich
now
people.
Drinking one of these.
Aha,
they're delicious.
Does not taste like hairspray.
So you Spindrift to that? You're just really sticking with the bubbly.
He's a bubbly bud.
Yeah. I've had 9 of these today, straight H2Os.
Hey, I'm back to high quality H2O as well.
I'm peeing 12 times a day and vomiting once a week.
Hey, that carbonation's good for that upset Tums and that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You're purging yourself, bud. You're purging.
Binge and purge. Ha, 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 ha. Get it?
Dun-dun.
Anyhow, so three, three is Am I Evil, where Lars is on vocals, 89.
Atta boy.
Did you say 89?
I think that's the first time they played it, where he jumped up and was in his spandex pants and his headband.
I think the more viewed one is on the Black Album, though, but I do like the 89 one. Yeah. Right. I think that was
I just wanted to give first instance of it, but
I love it. I think that was at the end of the Justice tour where that big poster comes up that says "Justice is done, justice is that, we have conquered everything, and see you later."
Yeah, yeah, and it's actually cool because they're doing the instrument swap. I don't. I'm sure you guys saw from Hamburg, he had the Mummy or whatever, and Kirk was at the King. Which I was like, oh, I don't know if I really would want to hear Kirk try to play drums, but
see if Jeff and I did that, Jeff would be able to like rock out and I would just be holding the Mummy like the only riff I know is Bread Fan, so what do you want to hear?
You want to play Smoke on the Water or something like that?
I do know Smoke on the Water. That took about 2 years to figure out. Dude. Yes.
Atta boy.
I know a lot of things that have second and fourth fret fingering. I'm good at 2 and 4. Like Fade to Black, Sanitarium, 1. In that zone, I can crush that shit.
He can play a B.
I know the top string's an E. I got that figured out.
I don't know what any of that is.
Bob Heard.
Yeah. Bob Heard. What we've got here is failure to understand. Some things Shane just hasn't seen, and he really needs to catch up and watch Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
I love just interrupting Larry during his list.
Yeah, Larry's fuming.
I go off on tangents, so it's hard for me to focus. So I'm like,
what number are we on?
Yeah, we'll never end this episode.
One, B, and D.
I got two left. I got two left. I'm okay, staying on track.
Focus.
Two is Anesthesia at SNM2 with Scott Pengel.
Wow. That. You guys put some thought into this. I like these.
Good for you.
Why did you pick that, Larry?
Yeah.
Because you were there?
I just thought it was like a really, not only because I was there, but a really badass moment where it just had a little bit more emotional weight to it than when, I mean, it's unique when Rob does it, but knowing Ray was in the audience, all the video of Cliff, it was a unique moment. Normally, Lars doesn't join in on the drums. It felt like just breakout, right? Ahead of the Zazula thing. So I just thought it was a great way for Lars to sort of do, get his moment in the sun, but then also honor Cliff. And probably was one of the more unique Lars moments that I've seen live.
It's a good one.
Agreed.
Yeah, I like that one.
I feel like everybody was standing up and hair on the back of their neck whenever, because I don't know that we expected him to come out and do it.
So, no, there were some emotional moments during that with a lot of people in that arena.
Big time. And that relates to one. Number one is welcome, welcome, welcome. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's
this
from
guy.
Binge and Purge, the drum off with James, where James comes up and he's like, what's he doing up here?
The boy wants to jam?
Yeah. And they do it, and then Godsmack sort of did it Madly in Anger tour with their drummer, but that whole drum off, and it just really shows, and I almost feel like it's sort of related to yours, Bob, because
check it out, Sandy.
It just
go
really
check
exposes
it out. Check it out.
The friendship that started at the recycling.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was that, Shane?
Check it out, San Diego. Check it out, check it out, check it out.
Yeah.
Pure platinum.
I'm a fucking drummer.
I've just always loved that. He sticks a drumstick up his ass. Like the whole thing in their rapport, like, again.
They literally were
like
a circus act.
Yeah.
My 3-year-old son can do better than that.
Anybody else want to try this shit?
My 3-year-old son can do that.
I don't even have a son.
Two random buddies on stage that had fucking figured it out and were on the biggest world tour they had ever been on and just seemed to enjoy every fucking
minute. It was like Bill and Ted making it.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that.
Well put.
Good work,
Larry. Well done.
That's it.
What the fuck? What the fuck is he doing up here? Shut the fuck up! I'm the fucking drummer around here! I don't think James can keep up with me, huh? My 3-year-old son could do that. I don't even have a son.
Ah. Mr. Winslow,
well,
you're on deck.
It seems that
our buddies here have really set the...
Have they copied you?
Well, they've set the bar really high. So,
let's just lower it.
I'm going to lower it down a little bit here. You know, we're going to go in with the old college dropout try, coming in just a few credits short. No, at number five, it was tough to think about it, but I really enjoyed the whole spiel that he did in 2020 with the no fucker around Instagram stories.
Yeah.
On the ski slopes.
Absolutely loved them. Looked forward to it. I can't talk.
That's the right terminology.
Yeah.
You've had too much water.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Busy day sitting in the sun. My brain
is cooked. I'm glad somebody brought that in because I love that one too.
Yeah, it was a fun one. And it was just, you know, especially during COVID, you have literally no fucker around. And it was shedding a little bit of light on a pretty crappy situation that was going on.
Right on.
At number four, Lars's cameo in Get Him to the Greek. Absolutely loved that moment. Love the
well thought out.
Love the fact that Russell Brand calls him a little Danish twat. Like, everything about the whole cameo is...
Isn't that when he's in that bed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he comes walking out, and then he's like, why don't you go sue Napster, you little Danish twat?
Yeah.
And then she gets a phone call, and he goes, oh, who's on the horn, babe?
Babe.
Hello, that's the phone ringing here.
Yeah, and Russell pretends to be his, like, her mom. He's like, ooh, hello. It's like very Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, man, when I first saw that, I was like, because I had no idea that he was going to have the cameo. I was like, no freaking way. I'm like, that's the best thing ever. Number three, this is kind of a controversial one, but I look at what's happening nowadays, and this is why I picked this one. Lars suing Napster. Because at the time, all the fans...
Going deep.
They rallied against him. They thought it was a terrible thing. And now you have this new generation of artists who are complaining that there's a billion Spotify streams or Apple Music streams and they're getting paid pennies. And it's all part, you know, it's all branched off from the whole file sharing thing. So obviously the guy was a little bit ahead of his time, unfortunately, and he took a big hit for it. But now looking at it, it's like, you know, someone had to do it. Someone had to stand up and say what should have been said, but it was just unfortunately not the right time period to do it.
So what you're saying is you like the t-shirt that says Lars was right.
I love the commercial. Do you remember the Napster commercial of the dude listening to I Disappear, and then Lars comes in and puts the Napster
in his dorm room?
Yeah, he puts the Napster sticker on his drink. He drinks it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's 10 years of groupie you're tasting there. And then he starts laughing. Like, that's the fact that he embraced it, did commercials about it, great moment in my opinion.
Hello? Hey, frat boy. What the hell do you think you're doing, man?
Holy crap! Do you know who you are? You're freaking Lars Ulrich from Metallica! I love everything you do! Except for that bad show you hosted.
You know what? Maybe I wouldn't have to whore myself out if you kids didn't steal my music.
Well, we're not stealing, okay? We're just sharing with each other, you know?
So it's like if I take this soda can right here, take a sip out of it.
Oh, my God! I'm sharing my soda with Lars Ulrich!
And you know what? I'm just sharing 10 years of groupies with you, frat boy.
At number two, Larry, what's up, bud? Lars singing Am I Evil?
Wow.
Yeah, number two.
Yeah.
Great minds.
That you guys have. Wow.
Yeah, so I was just going with the 92, you know, the stock one, but just that whole thing, I kept coming back to it because it's a fun moment. It really shows that the biggest, most, you know, quote-unquote serious metal band in the world were really just a bunch of jokesters who wanted to have a good time.
The best part about the 92 one is where he lays down and he's like, oh, I need some fucking oxygen.
Yeah, I love how he's, like, he's trying to belted out as hard as he can. He's running around like he's Axl Rose.
He doesn't realize how much he's running. He's just out of shape.
And then
Coke energy.
He didn't have enough. That's the problem because
Coke muscles.
He sings a 2-minute song and he's completely out of breath.
You think I fucking just replaced James or what? I need some fucking oxygen now, motherfucker.
I love
it. It's an interesting, like, what-if moment, because imagine if he was tried to front the band, if Henry would have been like, oh, I'm just going to play rhythm guitar, it would have never worked. No offense to Lowe.
They would have sounded like a British rock band with the way he sang. British punk band.
One was a witch. Ah. She was burned alive.
Have you heard his Wonderwall version?
Actually, I have. That's on a Fan Can CD, I think.
Fan Can 1, yeah.
Yeah, he's drumming and singing, and it's not pretty, but it's hilarious.
It's not pretty. It's hilarious.
I forgot about that. That is a... Man, I haven't listened to that in probably 20 years.
Coming in...
I swiped that off Napster.
You did. Look at you.
I'm going to go listen to that when we hang up. Jeff, I need that track. Lars singing Wonderwall.
Oh, God, if I can find that.
It's out there.
Look at this here, Bob. Oh, I got it.
Bob has it. Bob has a tag from 96. Of course he has it.
From now on, if you need rare songs or anything like that, just
hit up Bob.
I'm
your fucking guy.
For all the file sharing. I'm done.
Yeah, Jeff's various done. Live jams of Prowler. Come on.
I'm done. I'm on Lars's side now.
Prowler. We'll get Prowler a t-shirt. Rules. Jeff was right.
Jeff agrees with Lars, who was right.
Jeff, are you at number one
I'm
now?
I'm at number one.
Okay.
So coming in at number one, as a whole, the drumming on Injustice for All.
Damn.
Yeah.
If that's not a statement.
That's, to me, the greatest Lars moment because, especially nowadays, with how much crap he gets for being, you know, and I've said my fair share of things, but people forget that at one time the guy was... At the top of the game, he was in
the man.
He was in there with the likes of people like Dave Lombardo. Sure, he's not as good as Dave Lombardo, but he showed that he can do that type of drumming. He has the skill, he has the ability, and that essentially he went out there, left everything on the table, and then said,
right.
"All right, I have nothing left to prove at this point." And he
so now I'm going
to
turn my snare off and try this.
And he never went back. I mean, St. Anger would be the closest, you know, drumming to that of any album they've put out since Injustice for All.
True. If that's not a heavy statement to end with.
So, yeah.
Ajfa,
I mean, that's close.
On Apfa.
You sort of aligned with two of us, Jeff, like, because that covers Bob's comment about one, and then you agreed with me about
yep.
Evil, so your list is up there.
Well done. Why do I feel like I'm going to come in fourth place with the wow factor here?
Either that or you're about to, it's going to be a grand slam.
I just, yeah, you'll see what I'm going to say here.
You can do it. Come on.
Coming in at number five, Shadows Fall. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that wouldn't even come into number 500.
The number one, the cymbal chokes in Shadows Fall.
No, that beat from Terrible. The Presidio.
That Presidio beat would be better than Shadows.
You just got to get the washy ride anytime you hear that.
The Swish Knocker K custom.
Yeah, the dry.
The dry,
yeah,
K.
Yeah, the dry ride. Oh, it's so dry.
Oh.
It's like a dry wine.
In no particular order, I do have an honorable mention we'll get to at the end. The Through the Never performance of Creeping Death.
Well, here, you got to have it in order. You can't do this no particular order. You got to have a 1 through 5.
Fine. I can do that. 5, Through the Never performance of Creeping Death.
Yeah, that's still to this day probably the best performance of that song ever.
I believe it is. It's a little, the tempo's a little sped up.
A little.
It's powerful. Yeah, a little. Let's be honest, it's a DVD soundtrack. Yes, it's highly edited, but I was at 2 of those 4 shows that were recorded for the movie. His playing around that era That's kind of when the fills in Creep and Ride kind of changed for the better, more powerful, more punchy.
Yeah.
And I used to think of Creeping Death all the time from Mexico City, you know, track to 1993. But now when I think of Creep, I think of that Through the Never version, and that I don't think that's ever been topped.
Agreed. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll agree.
Mm-hmm. Number four, it is a quote from Scom, and Jeff will back me up that I say this a lot. I don't use this quote to sound like Lars. It's just, it's so well said, and I almost think about it every day when I need a little motivation. Let's fucking do it full on, or let's not do it at all. Mm. Now, we know what scene that's from. They're in the kitchen when the whole, you know, fuck. Yuck. I was running today, and all I could think of was, fuck.
I thought about seeing you today.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But I'm like, does that not wrap it up? Like, Jeff's heard me say this in the tribute band. Let's fucking do it full on. Let's not fucking do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a powerful quote that you think is silly, but
it goes a long way.
I use it quite a bit. Yeah.
It's evolved their mantra from metal up your ass to that to now full speed or nothing, right?
Yeah. Number three. I love this because he's so serious when he talks about it. In the 2 of 1 interview when they're in that hotel room. And he says, yeah, for our next video, we're thinking about just filming a pair of women's legs walking down the street.
Oh, the 2 for 1. I love that
but,
video.
But don't tell anyone.
We're thinking of doing one. We have a slight concept for the next one, which is like we have this really original thing that we've never seen in a video, which is like shoot a pair of women's legs walking down the street. And but don't tell anyone because we want to keep that idea to ourselves.
But he's so serious, like they're actually thinking about doing that.
And at that
for
exact,
their next video,
at that exact moment, it probably was actually crossing his mind, like, hey, maybe you know, maybe we could get away with this.
Just think of the videos at the time: Unskinny Bob,
oh, yeah.
Girls,
yeah.
girls, anything,
teacher.
Yeah, Bon Jovi,
all that bullshit.
Would it really surprise you if they would have just came out and done something like that? Like, eh, you know.
But if you go back and watch that, you know, he's got the long, like, you know, the lion hair, as I refer to it. Like, he's seriously telling these guys that this is really going to be a great idea.
That's hilarious. I love that video.
Number two, Jeff might have some kickback on this, and that's okay.
Uh-oh.
So I tied it in with another song. The performances of Enter Sandman and Harvester of Sorrow in Moscow. You cannot fuck with.
Yeah.
When you're watching him play those two songs, that those two songs are taken to a next level in that footage.
Yeah, it's that Harvester of Sorrow footage.
Oh, dude. Those
yeah.
two songs
yeah.
are probably the best performance and energy driven by him that I think we've seen in, you know, all the years of footage we have memorized thousands of times over.
Yeah, that's pretty legendary there. I think too, the inclusion of the military, you know, unfortunately beating kids. I mean, but it's still it
I'm just talking about drumming.
Well, yeah, but
his energy in those songs on them, dude, it is next level.
It is.
I sort of like Bob going right to the beating of the kids.
it goes with the song.
Whack those
yeah,
kids.
I mean,
this is the military.
They timed it. Lars timed it with his drum hits.
Next up, any performance of his during the mini M2K tour.
Oof, yeah.
If you watch Blackened from Detroit on the Y2K show, Blackened from the Minneapolis show in early 2000, anything, Puppets, Bleeding Me, Die Darling 2x4, his playing during that, I feel like that 2000, right before shit hit the fan, he was at a peak moment there, and a lot of people didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, because everyone was so wrapped up in what was out at the time, you know, Load, Reload, I Disappear, mm-hmm. No Leaf Clover, and unfortunately, he, well, not unfortunately, but he didn't really showcase his actual abilities that he still had.
YouTube, the Detroit New Year's Eve 99 show, or the three shows in Minneapolis, and watch his drumming, and it's, it is powerful and definitely left an impact on me from those nights.
I think the whole band had that, that kind of peak vibe as well. Mm. That's why I was looking forward to what was coming next.
Dude, like that little tour, they had the energy and the drive, like they were still trying to make it, like you see like on the Seattle footage.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just out for everybody, and we're going to roll across the land and do it. It was very short-lived during that period, but there's a time when you can tell the energy is just...
It's almost like they were...
At a 10.
Yeah,
it was different on the Summer Sanitarium tour. It's later that year.
I believe that.
It seemed like they were like trying to hold on to something that they knew they were... Something that was... You know, they were losing some battles within their own life at that point, and it almost seems like it came out in the shows that they were just trying to.
That's a great point.
Fight for survival, you know, and it's just like when they were coming up, you know, it's like, all right, this is how we survive. This is what we do.
But you also got to figure they were coming off the Black album and just feeling like king shit, like, you know, they've reached the mountaintop, and it was only then that they hit turmoil and, you know, the fans sort of turning on some of the music.
That was only the start. It's crazy because they thought that was the plateau, and then that was really only, that was the start of it all.
Honorable mention, can't forget, it's already been said, the No Fucker Around.
Yes. Yep.
It's, if you think about it, it is absolutely corny and ridiculous.
Hilarious.
But the way he does it, and really drags it out, whether it's in an empty stadium or a ski resort. It's so well done.
Yep,
it's corny as hell, but it's hilarious.
I wish that he would continue doing it.
There is no fucker there. There was no fucker there. There was definitely no fucker over there. There is no fucker around.
And you'd say, bring that hashtag back.
And you'd say, brah?
Yeah. Like up on the chairlift.
No fucker around, brah.
That is true. I forgot about that.
Said it all extra, bro. Like,
all right, people. Welcome to the Saturday edition of No Fucker Around. No fucker up that way. No fucker that way. But one day, he's fucker right here. why am I always skiing alone, bro?
I still think Bob takes the prize with the recycler.
Yeah, I would agree.
Talk about OG.
I think that's, well, because it doesn't...
Gotta come back to the beginning.
Unless, you know, you were to...
Golf clap.
Yeah. Unless you were going to say, you know, the moment he decided to put down a tennis racket and pick up a drumstick, that's about his...
Yeah.
That's about, you know...
The Deep Purple concert.
Right.
Yeah, sure, I'll go.
Larry, you've been clicking a mouse for 55 plus minutes. What are you working on? We're dying to know.
It was a mock-up. Nothing
for what?
Too exciting.
You going to make a new tag design for Bob's new giant shirt?
Yeah.
Guitar. It was a guitar mock-up.
Banker?
No, it was a vulture.
Stanker, actually.
A vulture with a...
Yellow one?
What's,
specific what? Finish.
I was a bright yellow vulture.
I was trying to see if I could map barbed wire to
Big
it,
Bird.
But it wasn't working out.
What top secret project are you working on that nobody can know but you're going to share with us?
And the whole world.
Yes.
I wouldn't say top secret. It's sort of relevant. So I had some Iration merch drop tonight on the Iration music store, so that was pretty
nice.
Cool.
Iration, right on.
And then, congrats. In the next thanks, gents. And then in the next couple weeks, there will be some activity at the Burton Museum in Sweden, and there should be some new things circulating around that.
Right on Jeff's face on a Rickenbacker shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. It's, cool. I'll buy one.
It's funny that we did a Lars appreciation episode, and I open up social media, and the first thing that pops up is an article that says the rockers that have defended Lars.
Justin Hawkins for the
Jabba
win.
There's the Jabba tongue. That's there's the tongue.
Jabba
about.
The Jabba the cocaine tongue.
Jabba the tongue. Yeah, right there. That's funny.
What would these clickbait sites do without Metallica? I swear it's
dry up.
It's like, yeah, I know that story.
They would just talk to Dave and then still get their Metallica's.
Yeah, just think how many clicks they get off of Mustaine crying.
Season 12, episode 13. Anything else on the Lars Loves Lists episode?
Triple L.
That's large.
Large Ulrich.
That's large and in charge.
Ladies love cool Lars.
Larry?
Cool hand L Lars.
Nothing.
Larry Lars?
Twins.
Lars Levine?
Double L.
I got nothing. That was a lot of fun.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Good times.
I think that was Jeff's idea.
That was, because...
It was, you know, yeah.
That was last week when we were babbling.
I felt as if, you know, Lars gets a lot of hate, and we need to do a little appreciating.
What is the legit? Is the poll this week that, or are you going to do Lion's Mane versus Eminem hair and do a Lars tribute?
Oh, damn, that's good too, man.
Lion's Mane.
Sorry.
Versus Slim Shady.
What do you think? What do you think, yeah. Larry? Do you think we should do Lion's Mane? So we'll do the picture.
We'll do
the picture of, you know, James Hetfield as the lion from The Wizard of Oz, and then and then a picture of Eminem. Which hairdo do you like better?
I think if you talk about Lars's lion hair, it's actually from that 2-of-1 interview.
Right.
Yeah.
It is huge.
Perfectly coiffed.
I like the Slim Shady look. I thought it was, because that was the era where Lars just didn't care.
The frosted tips.
Didn't care.
Yeah.
I thought he actually looked cool when he kind of shaved his head in 2012, 2013, 2011.
Like through the never.
Yeah. He looked cool there.
See,
looked like Phil Collins.
He looked a little sick.
Phil Collins.
Bald in the Philadelphia Collins face. That's exactly what I thought. I thought he looked like Tom Hanks in Philadelphia. I'm like, does he have AIDS?
Right.
Does Lars have AIDS now?
I think
Jeff and I are referring to a different Philadelphia Collins.
What about when Kirk shaved his head in 97?
That wasn't good.
With the chunks missing.
That's when he looked like he was
the
sick.
Cunning Sons like Jason hairdo Voorhees. Was probably, that was the most conventional.
Lars or Kirk?
Lars.
Yeah, that's true. With the Calvin Kleins.
Yeah, like that era, that, you know, load through Garage Inc. era.
The Coke muscles.
Hashtag
the same Coke could be said for Kirk when he started
fold that little
his,
Danishman up like a pretzel.
Chin spike.
Yeah. And
Kirk looked
piercing.
Like he was an Eagle Eye Cherry.
Oh, that was terrible. The piercing. I didn't like the piercings.
Kirk in that era was what happens when you order Dave Navarro off Wish.
Oh, God. That's, dude.
That sounds like a meme you just read,
that's
Bob.
That's literally the
I just made that
that's
up.
That's the best thing I've
and
ever
I love
heard.
Kirk. I mean, you know.
Well done.
That's the best thing I've ever heard, for sure.
I'm going to go watch Pulp Fiction for that Civil War scene.
I got some Andy Warhol movies to go watch.
Bob, good seeing you, man. Right, enjoy
you
the Florida weather. I'll be there tomorrow to really get a, you know, sunburn, hop in the pool.
Right on. I'll keep it warm for you, bro.
Jeff, keep wearing the Jolt Cola sweatshirt in your 90-degree Twin Cities. Peace out.
Peace out, Napoleon.
Larry, I don't know what to say about you. Just, you're lost, boys. You're blowing smoke into the camera tonight. That's
you're
all
over the place, bud. You really need to get it together, man. And someday you
Larry's
might
like
have a future.
When are you going to
like
life?
A late 90s rap video blowing smoke into the camera?
Atta boy.
Oh, he's lighting one up here. Wait for the smoke. Here it comes. Just cloud that
incense.
Camera.
This is what Larry does when he's at work. Don't lie. When you're in the meetings with the bosses, that's what you do. You say, all right, listen here, mofos. I got something to spit at y'all.
He's smoking like James is playing Orion.
Yeah, I sit there and I smoke one thing after the other, and I eat Reuben sandwiches. And I say, you can't talk to me like that. Lower your voice.
You can't talk to me like that. I was eating some corned beef this morning.
Shit.
Eat life cereal by the bowlful. I just say taglines all day.
Grab life by the horns. Oh,
it's been fun, gents. I'm going to go vomit again, and we'll check with you next week.
Enjoy
that's
that going to
be Shane's new bye saying. Pizzle. He's going to say, all right, peace out. Got to go puke.
Bye, Pizzle. Off to puke.
Yeah, bye, Pizzle. Out. Off to vomit. See you later.
Bob, don't throw that tag out. We need it for the episode imagery, so send it to Larry.
I'll scan it.
Yeah, after the episode drops, Bob, I know you've had it for 23 or 25 years, but after the episode drops, if you want, you can toss the tag.
No, it goes on my shelf.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
With all my picks.
Fireproof
no,
case.
What needs to happen, yeah. You need to...
Fireproof
you
safe.
You need to get, like, a three-ring binder and get, like, some wax paper and press it down like the kids used to do with the leaves.
That's
the
right.
And the four-leaf clovers.
I'll be honest, I picture TBD. You putting that very, like, daintily down
just
in your case
right.
And then going in your bedroom and pulling a giant slice of pizza up, like, covers over you and going to sleep, Bob.
Absolutely. Now I have
Bob
my
lives off
blanket.
Of that pizza at Universal and Diet Coke. I swear that's his diet.
Yeah,
pizza
cheese
Universal
pizza.
Rules.
Cheese pizza.
Does body good.
If Shane's drinking water and Jeff's been drinking water, Bob should start drinking water.
I'm drinking
enough
water.
Enough of this Diet Coke, man.
I've been drinking water hey, all
I like diet
day.
Soda.
Too.
It's okay, Bob.
What a good boy.
I like aspartame.
I ran 2 miles today, bro.
I like aspartame instead
two
of
miles?
Instead of sugar.
That's like a half of a 5K.
Yeah. I'm going to try to do 2.4K tomorrow.
I can't do those. I tried that once.
My
shins hurt for a
gym.
Week.
Going back to the gym. I'll be lifting weights instead of working on my cardio.
Cardi B.I.O.?
Cardi B.I.O.
See you, Pizzle. Thanks for putting up with our goofy babble Lars loves list.
He probably won't even listen to this episode because it has to do with Large.
He'll see the title and be like, meh.
Large Ulrich?
Large Ulrich.
Also, for all the listeners, enjoy Wonderwall as we play you out.
Wonderwall for an outro? You got it.
The I don't Lars like Oasis.
I just sent it to Shane.
Does anyone actually like
you
that
You already
band?
Sent that?
Yeah, I emailed it.
God.
I love Oasis.
Do you? You're a Gallagher fan?
Yeah, those guys are pricks, but I like the music.
I like when they fight.
I like fighting.
They sell records
fighting
that
Fighting is fun. It's good stuff.
I'm
trying to say that like Lars. I like when they fight.
When they fight.
Bro. Bra. All
right.
Bra.
See you guys later. Bye, Pizzle. All
right, kids. All
right. Deuces.
Bye, Larry. Larry! Larry!
Night-night.
Backbeat, the word is unseen, that the fire in your heart is out.
Oh yeah, baby.
That's how we should somehow realize that you can't do.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
I don't believe that anybody
smells quite like you do.
But to now.
Baby.
And all the roads belong and all are winding. But I don't know how.
What's that, my thing?
Backbeat, the word is something that the fire in your heart is out. By now you should have somehow realized that you don't. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do.
I need some fucking oxygen now, motherfucker!